If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello, before we kick off today's show, I want to tell you about a very funny live show that's coming up in Smock Alley on April 19th and 20th. It's called Fur City, and it is an improvised soap opera with puppets, and it features many of the very funny regular guests to this show, the likes of Kelly Shatter, Ali Fox, Tony Cantwell, Peter McGann, Pearl O'Rourke, Luke Benson, and myself. We're all going to be in it. It's going to be hilarious. It's on April 19th and 20th in Smock Alley. Check the Smock Alley website for tickets. Don't miss it. Fur City. Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show where the callers have no idea what they're calling in to talk about. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about embarrassing friends. Harold, your friend insists on calling you ridiculous nicknames, is that right?
He does, yeah. He's a bit of a lula. He's definitely a wild man of the sesh, and it was kind of his thing is to give people ridiculous nicknames, but his ones for me are quite mean, I have to say. Yeah.
Why? What are they?
Hairy bollocks. Because, you know, all the lads are trimmed nowadays, and I refuse. I'm more of a 70s bush man myself.
Yeah.
Called me Mammy's Boy.
Why did he call you that?
Well, my mother killed herself at a very young age. And I was crying at the funeral, and he pointed over to me and goes, Mammy's Boy loves his mammy. Mammy's Boy, always Fanny.
Yeah, and, that is mean.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I was the tears of my mother's death combined with the tears of being slagged by the lads. Yeah. I mean, it was bloody Niagara Falls, you know what I mean?
What age were you?
I was about 7 at the time.
Yeah. And he's consistently called you that ever since?
Yeah, it doesn't let it drop. I'm 27 years old, man.
Yeah, 20 years, wow. Any other nicknames?
Fanny Pack, because I was going on holidays to America when I was 12. And I brought a bum bag with me.
Yeah.
And I came back and I was there for a couple of days. So some of the lingo had got into my brain. And I came back and, of course, I was delighted with my new bum bag. And the lads were like, what the hell is that? I was like, oh, it's my fanny pack. And, haven't let it rest since.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, kids can be fierce mean.
Some of them are cunts.
Yeah, true as well. What? Maybe just watch that language.
Fair enough.
So what's your friend's name?
Peter Bogdanovich.
Not the actor and film director, Peter Bogdanovich.
No, okay. No relation.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any nicknames for him?
I'm not a mean guy.
Yeah.
Me and the lads got together. We sort of shopped around a few different names. Peter Bogboy.
Yeah.
Peter Bogbody. Peter Hogdanovich.
Yeah.
Peter Hotdogovich. Peter Smelly Smogovich.
Yeah.
And, you know, these just rolled off him like treacle off a duck.
Couldn't get to him.
Couldn't stick to him. Couldn't stick to the feathers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I want to bring Peter in here.
Oh, no, really?
Peter, what do you have to say for this? Like, your friend's embarrassed by you calling him ridiculous names.
Your man has skin as thin as like an egg. Like, oh, I'm just doing this stuff for a laugh. You know, I grew up with 10 brothers and we were doing it all the time. Yeah. And I just thought, you know, he'd be able to take it, and obviously no.
See, listen, I'm a sensitive soul.
Yeah.
And I'd love to slag him, but there's absolutely nothing I could slag about. He's just the coolest dude in the school.
Yeah, well, I mean, but
he's a teacher, that's why I said that.
Okay, he was your teacher?
Or? No, he's a teacher now in the school that we used to go to.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He was a bit history of a he was and maths. Oh, whoa.
See, he's just so bloody cool.
Yeah.
He was so cool at school, he was like, I'm never leaving this spot, give me a job as a teacher. And they were like, grand.
As soon as I finished the leaving, I was like, there's me CV, lads, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
They took it, unfortunately.
And no formal training or anything?
No, they just trained me on the job. I just sat in on classes, took notes, and bang, diddy, bang, it went in like a sponge to water.
But Peter, you don't...
famous phrase, like a sponge to water.
Peter, you don't call your students ridiculous nicknames, do you?
I do indeed. I'm building their thick skin up.
Right.
So when they get rejected from colleges, that they'll, you know, just bounce back from
it. Yeah,
yeah. It's a learning curve in their lives. I'm doing them a favour.
Yeah, but I mean, you've been calling Harold Mammy's Boy since his mam died when he was 7, and it hasn't built up a thick skin on him.
If anything, I think my skin has gone thinner. See through, you can bloody see me veins.
Well, look, that's not my fault, because me and my brothers, me and the 10 others, have skin as thick as leather. And even when we go to the gym, you know, we just, we don't even do weights, because our muscles are so big from our skin being so thick that we just walk on the treadmill.
Okay, yeah.
Another little prank he pulls frequently is he'll get a football and he'll inject concrete directly into it and let it set. And then he leave the football in the middle of the schoolyard, and then the first boy who comes in, you know the way you come into school, you see the ball, want to be the first boy to boot that ball, just breaks their toe straight away, and just sits in the hedge laughing away. How's that toughen people up, Peter?
I once picked it up and cracked someone's head open, and he was just like, man, that is the sorest thing I'll ever experience. Thanks, you know? That was kind
not
of
sure,
his
not sure
pain
thanked, yeah.
threshold had increased by 60%. Maybe I need to throw the ball at you. Meet me at the cart at 6:30.
I think
you should go, Harold.
If you are available.
I'm locking the drum, stay inside.
What?
I'm staying inside. I'm not
really?
Going to beat you just to get beat
See?
Up.
Peter, what about, you know, when the lads would call you Peter Hotdogovich?
I think it's gas.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, I think it's proper cool-like.
Okay.
Because they've learnt from me, and I think it's funny, and it's built my character. I'm a legend.
No arguing there.
You can't argue with that.
Bloody legend.
Yeah.
I won 5 awards at the Debs. Best dancer, most likely to be a millionaire. Hottest lad, hottest person, and the 5th one, coolest teaser.
Coolest teaser? What's that?
Because
you tease people.
Yeah. New award they brought in. Just
was this year's Debs or your own Debs?
My own.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're still harping on about that, are you?
Well, I've got them at home, so I might as well. They're up in the fridge.
You gotta flaunt it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I want to thank you both for calling in, Harold. It doesn't look like you're going to get off the hook. He's going to continue calling you nicknames for
Mammy's
the festival.
Boy.
Shut up, will you?
You are a mammy's boy, in fairness. Thanks for calling in, guys. Elaine, you've started distancing yourself from your embarrassing friend. Is that right?
She has toes on her eyebrows.
Right.
And I don't want to, you know, it's difficult because on one hand I want to be nice to her because she's toes on her eyebrows.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, I don't want to look at her because she's toes on her eyebrows.
Yeah, but I mean, there could be ways around that, surely. Like,
move a lot. Like when she's happy, they kind of wag.
Yeah, yeah.
When she's sad, they get wet.
They get from tears or?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have tear ducts just like an eye.
Okay, but she has eyes as well. Just
eyes underneath, yeah, because they're over the eyebrows and then there's the eyebrow hair.
Okay, so it's
and then
toes,
a normal anatomy from the eyebrows down.
Yeah. How many toes does she have there?
10, full 10.
Oh, full 10 up in the forehead, yeah.
10 on the head, 10 on the feet.
On the feet as well.
Whole set.
But I suppose, could you not just, I don't know, try and avoid looking at her when you're out together?
Sometimes I'll kind of ask her just to hold her hands over her toe brows. That's what we call them.
Yeah.
Suzanne, would you ever just cover up your toe brows? They're distracting me now. They're wagging.
Yeah.
She'll sort of giggle and kind of fondle them and look at me. And it just gets a little uncomfortable, you know, when someone's trying to make you feel, you know, uncomfortable.
She does it deliberately, does she?
Yeah. She sort of runs around after me and goes, look.
look at my toe brows?
And she sort of just, like, she'll kind of, like, have you ever seen people are doing yoga and they kind of stretch their toes out and it makes them look like fingers? So she'll sort of stretch them out, which is unnatural. She can move the baby toes independently. Not many people can do that. She can do that on her toe brows.
Yeah.
And she can do it on her toe feet.
Yeah. And does she have any other friends?
Nope.
Oh, it's just you.
Just me. And that's why I feel the pressure to keep her as my friend. Do you know what I mean? But then on the other hand, I just can't look at the toe brows anymore.
Okay, but look, I'm going to bring in Suzanne. She's heard you and she wanted to call in.
Hello, is that Elaine? Listen, I've a toe to pick with you now. You weren't complaining about my toes when all the boys were hanging around us last Saturday night in Coppers.
You're misunderstanding.
No, I'll tell you, this is how it works. I'm out in the town. I agree to bring out Elaine.
Yeah.
We're out. All the boys come swarming over. I said, you want to ship my friend? Do you want to ship my friend? All the lads said, no. All we want is a go at you. with your big wiggly forehead. And the lads just swarm all around me, and she gets my run off. And that's the only reason she's calling in now. This shows you're jealous.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I come from a long line of people who used to stand out in the rain. And throughout generations, we've developed protectors for our eyes so the rain wouldn't get into our eyes.
Yeah.
And they have, I will admit, a toe-like a look about them.
Yeah.
They're not actually toes, Dave.
Yeah, of course. That would be weird. Yeah, that would be weird.
And, you know, lads like something different. You always go for something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And the boys love my toe eyes.
Is Elaine very plain looking?
Elaine is plain.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, you can't see, but she got a very normal face, two eyes, just a normal nose, just hair tied up all the time. Do something with your hair, love.
Did they call her Plain Elaine?
They do call her Plain Elaine. Yeah. Well, you know, that was my nickname that I gave to her initially, and
the
lads loved it. I've got a great sense of humour.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave.
Elaine, Suzanne says you're jealous.
Well, it's a very particular sort of man now who goes for the toe-brow look, I've been told.
Mostly footballers.
Professional?
Well,
semi-club level.
Yeah.
There are, in fairness, a lot of club-level footballers around us, I'd say. I'm not sure really where the correlation there is. But, you know, I mean, you're saying that I kind of take the you know, the leftovers, so to speak.
Aye, the scraps from my table.
Sloppy seconds.
Well, I don't like that term.
Yeah, well, the sloppy seconds. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. I'll
you
take
do,
it.
You're happy to.
And I went on a date with one of them last week, and he just sort of was kind of like feeling under my hair and my scalp and kind of like running his hands over.
Who is this?
Just my clothing to see if I had any toes anywhere else.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Because I think he didn't really understand that I didn't have toes anyway, you know, and
they're
very into having toes.
Club-level footballers,
yeah.
Who are you going on a date with? It's the third time I've asked you now.
I don't think it's appropriate for me to talk about this on air without his permission.
Okay.
But I'll say it anyway.
Fair enough.
It's Jonathan Norton.
Oh, aye, John Norton. Yeah, I had to go on him. He loved my toes.
Yeah.
But I said, sorry, John, I don't have time for a BF. If you like it, stick a ring on it. So he's clearly gone after Elaine, hoping for some more toe action, and I've left incredibly disappointed.
He sort of said, surely you've won somewhere. And I sort of said, well, I've on my feet, I've 10. And he went, just fuck off with your toes on your feet.
He wasn't happy
with that. And then he sort of just walked out of the room.
When you have prime rib, it's hard to go back to corned beef.
Absolutely. Well, look, I want to bring in Brian. He's a young man who has fingers for a moustache. Brian, you heard this and you kind of related to Suzanne's story.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on this first time in the radio. I've struggled with this for a long time, and it's just so inspiring to hear someone like Suzanne just come out about her condition. I wouldn't even call it a condition. We don't like to call it that.
No.
In fact, I wouldn't even call it fingers that I have above my lips. It's more kind of a fleshy shafts that protrude from under my nose.
Sorry, I think that was my...
I know that's not a very time-efficient term, but that's
I know. I think my producer was just trying to...
Of course, I understand. But I just think this is the kind of discrimination that we have to face every day from people like Elaine. Scumbags. Exactly, Suzanne. Fair play, Suzanne. We've been waiting for people like you. It's really the first public figure we've had. And I'm actually thinking of setting up a union. I hope you don't mind me using the show as a vehicle for that.
No.
But if Suzanne would be interested, I think it's about time that we joined forces.
I'd lead the brigade, no bother.
That's great. It's great to have a public face for these kind of things, because really the time has come for people with fleshy mounds of any variety coming out of any orifice or part of their face or elsewhere to take a stand and fight for what's theirs.
Great. Suzanne, do you have any formal media training?
Just Facebook.
But do you think you'd be prepared to do more appearances like this? Radio, television?
Oh, definitely.
Photo shoots?
Late Show, Red Darcy Show. I do anything. I will say now, Brian, you have fingers underneath your nose. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, the
terminology is debate, but that is essentially
that
what I have.
Disgusting now, if I'm being perfectly honest.
But you have something that looks similar above your eyebrows.
Toe brows.
Yeah, but it's just a different, like the toe brow people don't really like to mix with the moustache finger people.
Suzanne. As Suzanne used to say to me, no toe brow, no show brow.
That's what I used to say. I got a t-shirt and I met it.
Do you know what, Suzanne? I'll go on the fucking Late Late Show. I'll go on Tubbery and I'll tell them about you, and we will join together as a community.
Sorry, Brian, they're not going to let on a freak like you onto the Late Late Show, unless maybe it's one of those sad bits after the comedian, maybe a Billy Connolly on, and now for something sad, let's bring on finger mustache Brian for a now laugh.
You can't see now, Suzanne, but I'm holding up a certain one of my fingers underneath my nose, and I hope you know which one it is. I hope you know.
It's not the ring finger, anyway. Nobody marry you, you freak.
Okay, well, look, I don't want this to descend into name-calling and bickering. I thought you guys could work together.
We're very different. Sorry, okay, Brian.
Obviously, that's not the case. We'll leave it there, guys. Thanks so much for calling in. My guest in studio today is a private detective who specializes in partner and marital investigations. Welcome to the show, Seamus Pieper. Seamus, how are you doing?
How are you doing? Jeepers Peepers.
Is that...
That's the name of the company.
The company, yeah. Getting the plug in earlier.
Well, I forget a lot of times in these type of programs. I forgot to plug me on business. So I want to get out of the way. JeepersPeepers.com.
JeepersPeepers.
If you've got a dodgy wife or a husband who's up there messing, go on to JeepersPeepers and I'll have a little look around our bins.
Okay, great. Well, look, I don't want to get too into the just you doing ads for your business.
You're right. I don't want to give away some of your secrets.
Well, no, we'd like you to give away some of your secrets.
Okay, I'll give you three.
Okay, go for it.
Well, as I said, snooping around bins.
Yeah.
Catfishing. I'd say that if you think that your husband is playing, eating across the fence, as they say down the country, I'd pose as a beautiful Latvian lady and I'd send them something like, here, I love them holiday snaps, aren't they more for me? And usually they'll send a penis picture.
Yeah.
I'll keep this going for a number of months and eventually I like to get deep yeah. undercover, you know. Yeah. I'll agree to meet them in a motel room with the lights off, you know, nothing inserted, but certainly hand stuff.
Yeah, because you want to have
concrete evidence. I want to say, without a doubt, this lad's messing around.
Yeah, yeah, because I know.
Because I give him a hand job.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. Do you have like a night vision camera or something?
I have the goggles that they have at the end of Signs of the Lamps.
Yeah. But that means you can see him, but...
Yeah, I want to see everything.
But do you have a recording of it then? Because otherwise, you need to be able to show it. You can't just say, you know, I gave...
No, I think that's rude.
Oh, to have to record people
without their consent.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm a feminist.
That was two things, was it? Is there a third thing?
Third thing I'd like to do... yes, I would dress up as a lady and I'd hang around bus stops and I'd just try and pick up men.
And then,
yeah.
And then find out that they've got a partner, and then go
contact the partner. Yeah, say you've been stung.
Okay, yeah.
That's more of a side project. That's
But I suppose it's
kind of unconnected to the business.
Oh,
actually.
Is it? Okay. What's the most compromising position you've found someone in?
I found a load of priests playing Twister at a seminary one time. I was just looking for directions and just right place, right time. Contacted the bishop and said, you lads are going down. And got them all done.
Oh, they all kicked out?
All kicked out, yeah.
For playing Twister?
Well, they weren't wearing any clothes, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, try and homily away at that one.
Well, it's just the Catholic Church can't exactly afford to be letting go of,
They're heating on full blast as well.
Why?
Well, it was very cold without the clothes. They just had the collars, actually.
They kept the collars on?
Kept the collars on. Keep it legit.
That's I can see why the bishop wouldn't be happy about that then. On the line, I have your former partner, Brody. Oh,
here we go, Brody, yeah.
You guys were in business together. Where did it all go wrong?
Well, basically, the way I was looking at it, it was becoming less of a business and more of some kind of a sick, twisted, I would almost go as far, Dave, to say fetish of some kind.
Okay.
I was finding objects that had no relevance to the business within the office, paraphernalia that I had never seen the like of before, or certainly had no bearing on the activity that we were being paid to do.
Your sex stuff?
Yeah, just footage, basically, kind of reel-to-reel. For some reason, he was kind of making recordings on archaic equipment.
8mm.
Yeah. And what was on the films?
It was kind of, well, there was the one with the priest that you've already mentioned, but there was...
Oh, you filmed that?
I had a camera run for that, obviously. You're not gonna miss that.
Yeah, okay.
There was one of a local lollipop man being hit on the arse with his own lollipop. And then he started filming me on the reel-to-reel and me going about my business, which was totally not conducive to our relationship whatsoever.
Yeah, what kind of things did you film him doing?
He'd overbleed the radiator. Till there was nothing left in it.
Yeah.
Essentially making the radiator useless.
Yeah.
See, Brody is an ex-guard, you know. He comes from a different side of things. He's a very legit... I'm from the other side of the tracks, you know. The bad side, the criminals.
Oh, you were a criminal yourself?
Well, as a young lad, I used to hang around and I'd dress up as a parking meter.
Mm.
And people would put money inside my mouth. And I'd keep all the money.
Yeah,
that's... And they'd get clamped.
And it's just not going that way. It's gone too far now, essentially. We're essentially finding out and solving mysteries that don't need to be solved, which is very much part of my Garda training.
Yes, so Seamus is creating problems for couples rather than catching people.
Brody just approaches it from such a boring way. Brody's like, all right, let's take a photo of them and let's, you know, write down times and blah, blah, blah. Whereas I'm like, no, let's dress up as women and have sex with them.
Yeah.
Let's get some concrete evidence.
He's always saying that, exactly. He's also importing cigarettes from Portugal, which is just blatantly illegal as well.
A garage full of fags.
That's not related to the business, though.
No, I don't know why you brought that up.
Totally unrelated to the business.
Okay, well, look, Brody, stay on the line. I want to bring on some other callers who might need help from one or both of you. Carmen is on the line. Carmen, you claim that you worked with Seamus already, but he couldn't solve your case.
I called him and said my husband's lost our keys, and I need help. I can't find them.
Yeah.
This
was the house keys, was it?
The car.
The car keys.
The car keys.
Yeah.
I still had mine, but he had lost his copy. And
you're
it was
set to the same
very
car.
Very frustrating to have to share them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know?
Could you get another one cut, or can you not do that with
can
this?
Can you do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it depends on the type of car and the model and stuff. But sometimes you have these ones where, you know, it's just a beep and, you know, you can't get those cut.
I didn't know.
You can't copy a beep.
No, you can't copy a beep. That's true. Seamus, you couldn't find the keys?
I didn't really bother looking, to be honest. Something like keys I'm not really interested in. I'm interested in hard sex. And
Which is what happened. So I get a call a week later and my husband says, I'm infected.
Right.
Infected with love.
And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, your man's after giving me syphilis.
Right.
And I said, well, how? And he said, well, he'd invite me over to look for the keys. He posed as a Latvian woman. He said, I have the keys. And I went...
I did a better accent than that now, to be fair.
Probably, in fairness. And she said, meet me in hotel.
That's more like it.
Yeah.
I've been... practicing, and he went, and they had sex, and then he said, and I still don't have the key, and I just don't understand. I don't understand. Where's the key? Why has my husband got syphilis?
Yeah,
you know, it's not very responsible.
Seamus, did you give him syphilis?
I didn't know I had it, so that's news to me. I must get that checked
early
out.
Early treatment is the best if you catch it early.
What happens
it
if you...
It sounds like he probably hasn't.
What happens if you leave it very, very late?
Oh, you'd have to approach a professional about that.
Listen, I didn't mean to get entangled in such a seedy case.
Well, it wasn't seedy till you got entangled.
Well, I says, yeah, well, let's go look for these keys. He says, right, where will we start? I says, I have a hotel room booked. We're in the hotel room. I lay down. I says, you've got a key there. He was like, what are you on about? And I was like, in your trousers. And he was...
Sorry, were you posing as a Latvian woman?
I was. I don't want to do the accent. It's racist. And
When Carmen did it, I thought it was a bit off, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not on.
Yeah.
So I says, you have a key there yourself, good lad. And he whipped out his lad. And I says, you're the key. I'm the slot. Turn me and open me up.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. That's how it started.
Yeah.
And ended.
Yeah. Brody, you're obviously not surprised by this kind of...
No, not at all. I'd actually go one step further and say what's been happening, as well as intervening in marriages that didn't require intervention, is he's been setting up marriages. He's been going down to the docks and just finding these stragglers and trying to wed them off just so he can get involved in the marriage. So he's actually making his own business, which in a sense, economically, is impressive, but totally
clever.
Unethical.
Quite smart. Quite smart.
I'll frequently find people who I know won't get on. I'll find an Indian and a Pakistani, put them together, they're going to fight.
Yeah.
He preys particularly on countries that have historic political divides.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly, yeah. Israelis and Palestinians, get them up the church full of drink, get a priest there, he owes me a few favours, and then call them back in a week, say, how's the marriage going? He goes, oh God, it's mental, you wouldn't come over and sort it out, and there we go, another business.
Yeah, you're back in the wig as the Latvian woman.
That's it.
Okay, well, look, Carmen, thanks for your call. I'm going to bring on some other callers now. Tony from the local sweet shop is on the line. Tony, you had some involvement with Seamus as well?
Yes, no, I got Seamus's number from the notice board, and his slogan was, I'm not here to make friends. So I had a problem. So I rang the number and Seamus came over to me one evening when I was closing up shop, the local sweet shop. And I said, Seamus, I have a huge issue. The loop-de-loops, someone's been eating all the chocolate off the loop-de-loops and none of them have any chocolate left. Can you sort me out?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, not a problem. That'll be €75. So I opened the register, bing, and took out the €75 in hard cold cash, and I passed it over to Seamus with a bobbin wrapped around it, and he asked me, could he use the bathroom at the back of the shop? And I said, no problem, Seamus, you go on ahead. To which he used the toilet, and he was back out in about 15 minutes, but he came out in a little lace number, and he headed out straight to the road and put his thumbs up like a hitchhiker you'd see in the movies, and he hopped into some old lad's car, actually not a young lad, an old lad's car, and went off, and I haven't heard from him since. And then when I was listening to the radio, I heard Seamus. I said, that sounds like the Seamus I was dealing with. So that's why I'm ringing up now, to see if he solved the case about the loop-de-loops, because I've... lot of angry customers because you know the only reason you get the loop de loop is for the chocolate bit.
Yeah. And you're down €75, Seamus.
Well, I was trying to think who would lick the chocolate off a loop de loop, and the first thing I thought of, a toothless man, because the owl lads with no teeth, they love a bit of chocolate, but they lack the chompers to bite on the top of a loop de loop. So what I did was, I'm gonna have to get a couple of owl lads, build up a case here.
Yeah.
So I've been sleeping with a number of OAPs in the area.
Kind of systematically working your way through them.
Systematically working my way through them, and I'm building a good case.
Yeah.
Building a good case.
You feel like you might be close to solving this
one? Oh yes. Oh, it's like the Zodiac killer. This could go on for years.
Any other problems in the shop, Tony?
The shelves are a bit wobbly, but geez, I just have to get Mick down to put a few new screws in that.
That's not a criminal case.
No, that's just a problem of my own, which is stressing me out.
My DIY.
The bread is falling and smushing all the rest of the breads.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, stay on the line, Tony. I'm going to bring on one more caller, Vivian. You believe your partner might be cheating on you, is that right?
Well, the clues are all there, Dave.
Yeah.
He's home, you know, he finishes work at 5:30. He's home at 6:15. Sort of.
Where is he in the between? And there's 15
minutes. What's going on there?
Yeah.
It's
probably getting a blowy in the back of the car.
Oh. Well, I mean.
Who's driving? Hmm?
He walks. He's about a 15-minute walk from our house.
Okay. Yeah. But
so I'm sort of thinking, you know. Time. You know, why the need to walk?
Mm, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're opening yourself up to passing a lot of people on the way.
Yeah, why do you want to meet so many people?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I see. And I hope you don't mind me asking this. Would you consider yourself beautiful?
I mean, he would call me beautiful.
Oh, yeah, well, men just say that.
Yeah,
But being honest about yourself and your own looks, what would you say?
I would say on like a scale of 1 to 10. 7, I'm probably like 5. So if you maybe...
So on a scale of 1 to 10,
maybe seven, like a 6 or 7-ish. Yeah.
Are you, do you live in the city or the countryside?
I live... Why do you ask? Is it just...
Well, it's just sevens in the countryside are very different than sevens in the city.
I mean, I sevens in the country are basically nines, whereas in the city you'd probably be like more like a five.
Yeah. It's all relative, isn't
that's
it?
That's right,
really?
Dave.
It's relative.
So where do you live?
I live in Dublin City, yeah.
Okay, so right. Seven in Dublin, you're talking, that's like a 4 in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's a 9 in the
enough.
Midlands.
Yeah.
That's fair. I won't.
You Catholic or Protestant? Because Protestants are better looking.
I'm Catholic.
Right, okay.
But you took that
he's
into account.
He's definitely cheating on you, yeah. 100%, 100%.
And so,
a Catholic 7 in Dublin, she's bollocks.
Well, I'm kind of wondering because I had asked, you know, kind of bounced this off a few girlfriends and they were like, but sure, it takes him 15 minutes to walk home and he's home exactly on time.
Well,
and
that's what's so ingenious about it. Yeah,
you know, but then like, you know, what if he's just kind of like getting a quick wank while he's walking?
It's very possible. I've dealt with cases like that where... a young man is walking home from work. He'll have a little pram and everyone's saying, God, that's a lovely little baby.
Yeah.
Don't look in it because there's a prostitute in there.
And she's got her hand out the back.
There's a little trap door on the back of the pram. She's tugging away. I don't know if you've ever seen that scene in Police Academy where the chief is giving a speech and there's a prosy in the podium.
Yes,
It's a similar situation. Like
Vivian, does he walk with a pram?
He does.
Well, have you got the baby?
No.
There you go.
Your friends were wrong. You should have listened to your instincts.
I know. Yeah.
And not listen to
strangers.
When he told me, look, I'm getting a pram, it's good for my lower back. When he cut a hole in the back of it and said, I'm getting a pram, I'm cutting a hole in the back of it, it's really good for my lower back when I'm walking.
Yeah.
I said, of course, darling, whatever you need, you do have a lower lumbar spine. And I'm here for you.
Tell me this, when he comes in the evening, does he go,
Yeah, he does.
That's a man who's just got
and
them
blowing.
And
he's sort of a little bit sweaty on the brow, even if it's fucking freezing outside.
I wouldn't be surprised if these so-called friends of yours who said you were being paranoid aren't the ones that he's pushing around in the pram.
You're so right, Dave.
It's all coming into place.
I have a lot of very small friends who'd fit very snugly into the pram.
It's a small pram, is it?
It's a normal sized pram for an infant, not for an adult, but they're small.
They're small friends.
Fit.
Yeah.
Some of them now are massive.
Yeah. Any advice for Vivian?
I think if I was in your position, I'd get me on back. I'd have sex with members of his family. I'd up the ante.
Mm.
Find a sexy uncle, bed him. And if you've
have
you
I
got
that doing that while I'm walking as well, kind of keep it to the same.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Sort of hit him on home turf. If you could actually catch up with him on the walk home, say, "Hey, will you love?"
Right.
And
should I be in the pram then?
No, I put the uncle in the pram, and I'd have your hand going through the trap door, and you're just tugging away.
And you want him to see that.
You want you'd open it up. There's a little rain guard. You just pull that back, and then Uncle Larry's in the back.
Yeah,
on his back with his hands up, his hands and knees up in the air like a dog.
Yeah,
getting his belly scratched.
Brody, would you take a similar approach to that, or would you?
Well, you know what? Usually, I would contend the answers that my former colleague would give, but that seems like a pretty good plan in this particular situation.
Yeah.
And you could have like a song. You could maybe play some. What's that? You might as well face it, you're addicted to love. You play the entirety of that
Palmer.
Song.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Because
yeah,
it's got
yeah.
a nice steady tempo and
it
you
does.
Just, you pull Joe to the man asunder.
Yeah, to the
yeah.
to the
but
tempo.
That's just the situation. You know, it's a case-by-case basis is the thing and that's what I'm trying to get across.
Great, okay.
Okay, look, I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all of my callers today, but I especially want to thank Kevin McGahern, Laura O'Leary, Sophie Jo Wasson and Fionn Foley. Guys, do you have anything you want to plug?
Nothing really immediate. Haven't got any bookings for festivals yet, but they'll happen. Just go to kevinmcgarren.com and look out for gigs, or just follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. I'll be happy enough with that.
Great, Sophie Joe.
I'm absolutely nothing.
Fair enough, Fionn.
I'm in the Gaiety from the 22nd. No, the 14th to the 23rd, with Light Penny Candle.
Light Penny Candle. Cool, Laura.
Les Mis, April 27th. I'll be sharing the link for the tickets on my Twitter, LOLeary_.
What are you doing for Les Mis?
Just singing a few songs.
No way. Fair play to you.
Thanks, Kevin. I'll see you there.
I'd like to plug our next tightrope show. We'll be doing another live phoning it in the Pier Centre on Friday, April 12th. Check Eventbrite for tickets. I also want to plug First City, the improvised soap opera with puppets that I'm producing with Kelly Shatter, which features lots of the regular guests of this show. That's going to be on Smock Alley on Good Friday, 19th of April and the 20th of April. Check Smock Alley's websites for tickets to that. Thanks again, guys. Thank you to the Heads of Podcast Network for having us, and to Gianna Farrell for theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
A delish little Tuesday evening.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.